Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's our text. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The 23rd Psalm is not our text for today, but it sure cues up well the text for the day that deals with Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. It's kind of hard to miss today in the readings the shepherd whole motif, because if you look at the Acts reading, Paul warns the elders with these words: pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Then you jump over the gospel lesson, and there Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then you get to the reading from the book of Revelation, and you have the Lamb who becomes our shepherd. Now, speaking of sheep, I have my share of experience of serving as a shepherd. When I was in high school, my father and I, we lived on a farm, an acreage outside of North Loop, Nebraska. And the owner of the property had his prize-winning Suffolk sheep. Now, if you don't know what kind of sheep they are, they're the very large ones that have the jet black heads and ears, and they're booted all four legs with black. They're massive critters. They're beautiful, albeit stupid, and albeit sneaky. See, I was tasked with the job of making sure they were confined within the property in which we lived. And I did my best. The gates were always open and shut and locked, and the fence, I'd always repair it. But these boogers were sharp. They had this way of either jumping over it — they were master jumpers — or they would go under it, or they would simply push their way straight through it. No matter what I did to confine them to our property, these sheep always found a way out. You may have caught the drift that I hated them with a passion. They were a nuisance. I don't care what they were prize winning. These creatures were the bane of my existence. But I was assigned with the task to make sure that they were confined within the property, and they were prize winning, so they were kind of pricey, and so therefore I took my job rather seriously. But the reality is, they were like Houdini. Nothing, and I mean nothing, would contain them. There was always something better on the other side of the fence, and it seems like they were always out. I could have chose to simply ignore them. And believe you me, I wanted to. Simply ignore them and be done with them. I don't have to worry about them, but they were my responsibility. And I didn't mention, but we lived right along a busy highway. There was truck and car traffic all the time. And outside of the confinement of the yard, the place we were on, there was danger, not only from them, but also from the numerous predators that were carnivores that lived in the neighborhood. Needless to say, these particular Suffolk, or however you want to pronounce that, this flock, became the bane of my existence when I lived on the farm. But in retrospect, based upon my attitude towards these wayward and disobedient and arrogant sheep, they were so unappreciative. And I must confess, there were times where I certainly was not a caring shepherd, and you surely could not get me confused with a good shepherd, because I hated these sheep. Now, I want you to measure that, what I just confessed, against the definition of what a good shepherd looks like as I read it in the 23rd Psalm. And I want you not only to do that, but also look at the circumstances of your life today. So you have this good shepherd that provides you the green pastures and the still water and all that jazz, and this blessing is running over. It sounds to me like it's a destiny of glory, and I want to be there. But then look at it in your own life, and how does it apply to you? You know, see, I know a few of you here are today battling cancer, and others of you are cancer survivors. But the reality is there is suffering that takes place. There are others of you, as myself, you struggle with just health issues in general. The pains and the aches of getting older, and just this hereditary illnesses that come upon our weakened flesh. Others of you, you struggle with financial problems and financial shortcomings. We have a family that the wife lost her good-paying job, and she's struggling to kind of make the ends meet as she once did. Others of you have retired with this idea of this golden nest egg and this great time of celebration and travel, and then you find out that retirement benefits don't stretch quite as far as you need to, and the prices just continue to go up, and you wonder at times, did God leave me to the green pastures, or is He just leaving me in the valley of the shadow of death? There's others of you that wrestle with conflicts within relationships. Perhaps even within your own marriage, or within your own family, or certainly with co-workers. And there's a few of you that have conflicts right here at Emmanuel amongst each other. But then there's others of you that are experiencing bullying. And you have this feeling of isolation from other people. One of our church families has experienced the death of a loved one. And many of the others have experienced that in the past, and you still, it's hard to overcome that because the emotions of loss are so strong. And then others of you have experienced, well, you feel in the malady. But the reality is, amongst all the diversity of the suffering that we go through, there's one thing that is utterly consistent. We all struggle with something. Have you ever read that 23rd Psalm and begin to reflect back upon yourself and begin to think the words, humbug? Humbug. Because that certainly does not describe my life. Now really, Jesus, are you the good shepherd? I think you've left the sheep outside of the fold, because the life I'm living today is not reflective of green pastures and still waters and all that glossy stuff. That's just fairy tale. Jesus, you have wronged me. Jesus, are you punishing me for the sins of my past? Have you forgotten all about, do you even care about me? Do you love me at all? Or am I simply a sheep without a shepherd and without hope? If that's how you feel, you may be feeling exactly like the church that St. John wrote the letter of the Revelation to in the first place. See, because this was an early church body, just like Emmanuel Lutheran and friends that are here today, it's exactly like us. Flesh and blood people with challenges in their lives, but they had challenges from the outside of the church. Oh, they had witnessed the stoning of Stephen outside the walls of Jerusalem. Oh, they had witnessed that the apostle James was beheaded by Herod Agrippa I. They knew of Peter's crucifixion upside down and Paul's beheading. They knew about all. They knew about Herod in Rome, as he would use Christians for play and tie them to a pole and rub them down with tar pitch and set them ablaze to illuminate his garden parties. They knew about all that, and to use him as sport in the Colosseum. This early church was under persecution. They knew what suffering looked like. But they also saw suffering within the church as well. Paul had warned them that when I depart, fierce wolves are going to come into your midst. They're coming. Don't worry. They're on their way. And there'll be false prophets that'll come and try to deceive even the disciples, to lead them away. And that stuff was taking place. The early church had squabbles among themselves. Emmanuel, we're not alone in the squabbling department. They had it going on amongst them as well. And I'm not even going to mention the physical and the emotional and the relational issues that the early church suffered with. And when they heard that this green pastures and the still waters, they probably thought to themselves, poppycock, because I don't see it happening in my life. And therefore, the Holy Spirit inspired St. John to pen the words of the book of the Revelation for the simple purpose of providing comfort to suffering Christians and to encourage them by those very vivid, prolific, and prophetic portraits of victory that they have already received through the risen and living Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. Now back to my sheep herd that I was assigned to take care of. This same flock that was such masters of jumping over, climbing under, or pushing their way through, they had no clue on how to get back into the pen that they'd once left. Oh, and as darkness came, what do? They come to the gate and they just start baaing. I'd be outside the house, I'd think to myself, you know what? That's exactly where you belong. And I was content to sit on the recliner and watch television or do whatever I was doing. And you know what? I don't even like you. And I'm not going to get out into the cold to come open the gate for you. It's dark out. Are you kidding me? And I would sit there, and as darkness fell, they would just want to come back in, and they'd just continue to cry at the end of the driveway where the gate had been shut. Now, if we are honest with ourselves, I think you and I must confess that we have a lot in common with the sheep I once was the shepherd of. The reason being is that although our good shepherd has erected limits for our own protection, they're called the Ten Commandments. But how often have you and I massively transgress God's commands? Man, we can jump over anything. Not bearing false witness about your brother or sister. Did you hear what they said about her? Oh, that commandment of remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But we have youth sports next Sunday. It's a road trip, and I'm not going to miss it. And we have all these transgressions that we can jump over, push through, or climb under. And we're driven by that insatiable desire that there's always a greener pasture on the other side. Pastor, there's always something better so I can get to it if I want to. And for a brief shining moment, there's feeling of joy. After all, I'm outside of God's command. I'm a dog off the leash. I can do whatever I want to do. But then darkness comes. And we begin to discover that although we are free in our sins, we are utterly alone. And we find ourselves at the end of the driveway, at the door, continuing to cry out for the good shepherd to come and let us in. I must confess that there were times where I simply did not want to go to the end of the driveway. In fact, I become tone deaf. You ever get that way? You're kind of tone deaf. I don't hear anything. It was my dad. It was my dad who said, Jeff, I think the sheep are at the gate again. In my head, I'm thinking, well, you go let them in. I would never say that to my father, but you know, you go let them in. There was times when I made that trip from the house down to the end of the driveway very reluctantly and very begrudgingly. And I take the longest route possible because I wanted them to know what it's like to be outside and to be strangers. See, the reason Jesus is your good shepherd because he's nothing like me. As I loathe those sheep for the sins they had committed against me, I'm the shepherd. I put the fence there. I fix it for a reason. I look after you. I watch over you. But see, Jesus is a good shepherd and has done all of those things. But John reminds us that these saints that are gathered in heaven, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In spite of all of your transgressions, in spite of all the times where you think you're so smart to jump over, push through, or climb under the perimeters that God has placed around you for your own protection, Jesus Christ is willing to suffer and die upon the cross in your place. If that doesn't mark a good shepherd, I don't know what does. That he loves us in spite of who we are and what we have done. We are still his sheep, and he washes you clean in the water of your baptism. And more than that, he ushers you back into the family, calling you his very own. My dear friends, if you want a picture of what a shepherd looks like, don't look over here, but look over here. To the one who suffered and died, and by his blood he has made you clean. This morning, as I was reading the St. John's Revelation, I'm reminded that he was in prison when he penned those words on the island of Patmos, but he was still in a place he didn't choose to be. Because he had proclaimed the gospel and done it so faithfully, there he found himself. And he's pinning the very words of heaven that God is revealing to him in his mind. A beautiful picture of a mass of saints in heaven from every tribe, religion, region, and all those different things. But they're all there, and they're all dressed in white robes. They all have these palm branches in their hands. What a beautiful picture. Now, it's been a few years ago, but I knelt beside the deathbed of one of Emmanuel's longtime members, and part of the commendation of dying liturgy is to read Revelation chapter 7, 9 through 17, the text I just read a few moments ago. That's my vocation as pastor, and I'm reading this beautiful picture of heaven over the deathbed of a beloved sister in Christ. And as I'm in the middle of reading it, there's someone poking me in the back. And I'm thinking like, stop it, because I'm reading, and I'm not a great reader as it is. I have to concentrate, so I'm watching, I'm reading, and it doesn't stop. And so finally, a sharp jab in my side made me turn around, and it was Laura. And Laura goes, Pastor, I think Mom is gone. And I looked over the chest of Lorraine Chamberlain to see if her chest was still rising and falling with each breath, and it was still. Lorraine Chamberlain had passed from the valley of the shadow of death right into the presence of the saints in heaven while I read the text from St. John. It was a beautiful thing. For her, her days of hunger were over. She would thirst no more, the sun would not strike her, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne would be her shepherd. And he would guide her to streams of living water, and God would wipe away every tear from her eyes. My dear friends in Christ, I'm not sure of everyone's struggle that you go through in life. The maladies that we have among us are definitely diverse, and they're challenging. And I wish I could just say, you know what, I can take them all away. But I can't. But I want you to know that you have a shepherd who knows the value of wiping away the tear from one person's eye. He is the Lamb that has become our shepherd. He is the Lamb that knows exactly what it's like to be a sheep. He knows what it feels like to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with all the predators and all the dangers and all the temptations and all the suffering that enveloped him. He knows all about that, but he was willing to show forth his love by suffering and dying that you may have life and have it to the full, even in the valley of the shadow of death, because he knows your pain. He knows your sorrows. He knows your fears. He knows your struggles. And unlike me, with those crazy sheep outside that farm in North Loup, Nebraska, he loves you. He loves you so much. And today his voice says to you, come, come, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Dear friends, that is great news. Because it doesn't matter what suffering or sorrow that I have a shepherd who knows who I am. He knows my need. He calls me by name, and he gives life now and eternally. Amen? Amen. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.